If you were anywhere around the town yesterday or in the area, you might have asked a lot of people, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? And people were there with cricks in their neck, watching planes flying backwards and forwards and up and down and doing the most terrifying things. And somebody told me an air show joke yesterday, what sort of biscuit flies? A wee plain one. Ooh, dreadful, isn't it dreadful? Dreadful. Yesterday, yeah. What are you looking at? And we join in and we watch those things. But you can also say it in a different way. Because if I was to put my hands on my hips and look at you and say, what are you looking at? It would be a different. And there's almost an aggression in there. Part of this Lord's Supper simply asks the question, what are you looking at? What are you looking at when you gather around this table? What are you looking at when you prepare to come here and celebrate this Lord's Supper? Let me suggest for you three things that we should be looking at. And the first one is simply yourself. Looking at yourself. It's easy to dash in and out of church with hardly a thought. We sing the songs, we're up, we're down, we bow our heads at all the right moments, but that's it. It's also easy to eat and drink without any real thought. No thought about what we're doing. No thought about what difference it makes to our lives. Just no thought, and we dash in and we dash out again. And it seems that some things never change. Some things are just the same. Because back in the church in Corinth, and Patty read for us that account of what was going on around the Lord's Supper in the church at Corinth, no thought was given as to what they were doing. And so Paul actually says, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. When you gather around that table, I don't know what you think you're doing, but it's not the Lord's Supper. Because you're looking at something totally different. You're looking at something totally wrong, something totally off beam. They were eating and drinking without recognizing the body of the Lord. They were not aware of the church as part of the body of Christ. And because they weren't aware of being part of this body of Christ, they became very self-centered. All that really mattered was me and mine. Nobody else matters. It is so easy to dash in, to dash out, and not to look, and not to think. So our first look is simply to look at ourselves. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible, the Message, takes this verse 28 from 1 Corinthians 11 and simply puts it this way. Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Look at yourself. Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. So what we're going to do just for a moment is to be still before God. We have that opportunity to examine ourselves. The psalmist said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We're just going to be silent, bow silently, and look at ourselves. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We look at ourselves. We also look backwards. It's part of looking at the Lord's Supper is to look backwards. It's remembering. And so we read verse 24 of this chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. This is my body, which is for you. Do this, looking back, do this, remembering me in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. There is this looking backward aspect to what we do here. It recalls the death of Jesus Christ for you and for me as sinners. That's why Jesus died. Because we are sinful people. This covenant sign is that God uses to signify his gift of salvation for his people. The salvation is paid for and is sealed by the very blood of Jesus. We need to look back and to remember. But it's much more than just looking back. It's much more than just looking back and remembering an event in history. It's remembering that that event in history has an impact on you and me here and now. So we don't just look backwards to see what Jesus has done. We look backwards to see what Jesus has done for you. We look backwards to see what Jesus has done for you. For you, he went to the cross. For you, his body was broken. For you, his blood was shed. For you, he cried, "It is finished." We have this backward look. For you, you will spend eternity somewhere. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in your heart. You will spend eternity somewhere. The question is where? God has given his Son, Jesus Christ, so that through faith in him, trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, you can spend eternity with him in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And the alternative is horrific. The alternative is that God will simply recognize that we've rejected Jesus. Maybe deliberately. Maybe just casually. And when we do that, we spend eternity separated from God. Separated from all that is good and lovely that flows from God. And the Bible describes that as hell. We will spend eternity somewhere. But it depends not just on that event when Jesus died on the cross. It depends upon our response to that event. The writer to the Hebrews simply puts it like this. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? There is no other way. We look back. We give thanks. So again, we're going to take just a moment to be quiet. A moment to look back. A moment to look back at the cross. A moment to ask that question, where will I spend eternity? Apostle Paul looked back and simply said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." Lord, may that too be our declaration. We look at ourselves, we look backwards, we also look forwards. For in the middle of this passage, verse 26, we simply read the statement that we read every communion service and somehow it passes over us. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a look into the future. When we do this, we announce the death of Jesus. Through Jesus' death, sin and death and hell are defeated. We look forward to a heavenly banquet. In Revelation, we simply read, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." This is a very, very small foretaste of that heavenly banquet that we're invited to. We trust in Jesus. We trust in what he has done for us on the cross, his once and for all sacrifice. And we can look forward with anticipation. So again, let us be still. As we look forward to that time and place which Jesus has gone ahead to prepare for you. The psalmist looked forward. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, as we look forward, give to us, we pray, that confidence which knows that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We look at ourselves, we look backwards, we look forward. So what? So what? What difference does it make to us? Sometimes we treat our Christian faith as simply a ticket that will produce to show we have a one-way ticket to heaven. And there is that aspect to our salvation, that we have this ticket that will take us to heaven, but it is so much more than that, because our salvation is about what we do here and now. It's not just about heaven. It's not just about out then. It's about here and now. Don't know how many of you can swim, or how many of you can remember learning to swim and holding on to the side and letting go with one hand and then letting go with the other hand and learning to swim. There's something like that happening here. Because with one hand, we reach back to our past and we try to sort out our own past. Whatever it is in our past, our own sin and guilt and shame in our past, we reach back and we would love to be able to sort it out. So with one hand, we hold on back there. With another hand, we are grasping at anything in the future that would give us hope and reassurance. As we look at the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that the past is sorted out. There's nothing for us to sort out. Jesus has done that when he died on the cross. We can let go. As we look forward, We're not just grasping at anything. We hold on to the truth that we have in Jesus Christ, who is our unshakable hope, and we can let go of the future because Jesus has it secure. And we now have two hands free to live here and now. This Lord's Supper, the past, the future, the present, all come together because of Jesus. Our past is dealt with. Our future is secure. Our present makes sense because of Jesus and his cross. There is no point in struggling. We depend on his grace. Grace to live for him. Grace to serve him. Where has God placed you? In your home, your community, in your church fellowship, whether it's here or somewhere else. That's where he has called you to serve him. And sometimes we wish our lives away, wishing we were here or there, wishing something was different. God has called us to serve us where he has placed us. Serve him where he has placed us. So as we start a new session in church here, we need to remember that we're saved not to simply hold on to this ticket that will get us to heaven, but we're saved to serve. And there are 101 different ways that you can serve God wherever you are. But step up. Get involved. Keep looking at yourself. Keep looking back. Keep looking forward so that the present makes sense where God has called you to serve him. But pray that your looking will lead you to announce the good news of Jesus Christ by the very lives that you live, wherever that may be. You have two hands free to serve him because you don't need to hold on anymore. But it's not just about here. I don't think anybody could fail to be moved by what's happening across Europe. A picture of a child on a beach. A child that should be playing in the waves, digging in the sand. A child that ends up face down, being gently gathered up by a policeman. God has given us free hands to welcome, to reach out, to serve in whatever way we can. We should be the first to reach out. Those who know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ should be the very first to reach out. And it's not just a nice thing to do. It remembers what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and so we reach out to others. It's also a declaration of the kingdom, which is marked by justice and by mercy. It is neither just nor merciful that people are herded about Europe worse than animals. As God's people, we need to be those who use their free hands to express his love, to speak of his kingdom. A kingdom where justice and mercy are not just talked about, they're lived out. The Lord's Supper is all about looking. But it's looking so that we can be equipped to live here and now. May God give us the eyes to see and the lives to serve. And to him be all praise and glory. Amen.